Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" Jesus replied, "The first is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these." The scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher. You are right in saying he is one and there's no other than he. And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, to love your neighbor as yourself, is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he answered with understanding, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no one dared to ask him any more questions. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Begin on Sunday the second phase of Lent, which will extend through next Thursday. Next Friday, when we're together, we will begin the third and final phase of Lent. First phase of Lent is to repent and believe in the gospel. It's explicitly geared toward our conversion. This second phase is to prepare catechumens for baptism and for all of us who have been baptized for the renewal of our baptismal promises. The third phase, which will begin in a week, is explicitly a preparation for the passion of the Lord. In the second phase, as we ponder the meaning of baptism, we begin with Naaman on Monday, if we didn't have the Annunciation, how the Lord seeks to cleanse us just like he cleansed that Syrian leper. Begin with mercy on Tuesday, forgiving 70 times, 7 times, because we receive the Lord's mercy in baptism and we're called to love others with that same mercy, infinitely. We then go on to teaching. The greatest in the kingdom are those who obey what they hear from the Lord and act on it and teach others to believe and act on it. That again is part of the growth in baptism. 1,000 cubits at a time, as we see in that prophecy from Ezekiel. Yesterday, we have the fact that the devil wants to stop all of that, which is why there's that prayer in the baptismal rite of exorcism, in which each of us have been exorcised and our hearts been blessed so that it might become the abode of God and Satan might have no dominion within us. That we truly reject him, all his evil works and empty promises, and truly believe in God. And then today we get the passage which is chosen most at most baptisms. The greatest commandment of all, to love God with all we are and have and to love our neighbor. Because this is the real point of the Christian life. And right then on the beginning of our Christian journey, the church has us ponder what the whole church helps us to try to live. The beginning of Hosea's passage today from chapter 14, "Return, O Israel, the Lord your God." We heard the initial calling on Ash Wednesday from Joel to return to the Lord with our whole heart. All we are, all we have is supposed to turn to the Lord, not just part of us. And so we're able to jump on in to this extraordinary passage. when this lawyer comes to ask Jesus what he must do, what's the greatest of all the commandments? As we like to stress, it wasn't an easy question. There are 613 different commandments in the Old Covenant. Jesus had to see truly the real point. So Jesus, not missing a beat, said that the greatest of all of them is to love God with all our mind, heart, soul, and strength. And then he volunteered the second answer, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Both of those are taken, of course, from the Old Testament. In St. Matthew's version of this scene, Jesus will say, all the law and the prophets hinge on this twofold command. Everything else has got to be understood within the context of this love for God and love for others. If we don't understand it within love, we are missing totally the point. And the vast majority of Christians miss totally the point. When we look just, for example, at the Ten Commandments, we don't readily see that they are a school of love. But we can't be loving God with all our mind, heart, soul, and strength if we're serving other gods, if we're blaspheming his name, if we're blowing him off on the day we call his. We can't really be loving our neighbor if we're dishonoring the parents he's given us, if we're killing people, aborting them, hating them, taking advantage of them sexually, ripping them off, deceiving them, getting upset at the loves in their life or the blessings with which God has given them. They're all inconsistent with love. The entire Old Covenant is a preparation for the new, because the Old Covenant is meant to point us in the direction of love. And the New Testament is meant to help bring that direction to its fulfillment, to its destination. I've always been intrigued by Jesus' words to the scribe at the end of today's gospel. I hope you're intrigued, because I think we all ought to be intrigued. So this young scribe exults and says, "You are so right, Master. These are the two most important things." And Jesus looked at him lovingly and saw that he was living his life with understanding. And so then he said, not welcome to the kingdom of heaven, not you're deeply in the kingdom of God. He says you're not far from the kingdom of God. He hadn't entered it yet. How come? Well, we could say that Jesus hadn't fully inaugurated the kingdom yet through his passion, death, and resurrection. We could look at it from that angle. But the biggest and most obvious is it's not enough to know it. You got to do it. And so he looked at it with understanding. He grasped it. But he wasn't yet living it. It's not just to hear the word of God, but it's to observe it. And so for us, we know this stuff. But the real test of whether we're genuinely living in the kingdom is how we're practicing it. So what does Jesus say? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. A lot of the times we think we should receive gold medals if we're loving the Lord with 60% of our heart, or 70, or even the ivory soap standard of 99.44% of our heart. Jesus doesn't say, give it your best shot. Jesus wants us to love him with our whole heart, all of it. St. Thérèse Lisieux would say we can't become saints by halves. Likewise, we can't love God only with our right atrium and ventricle. He deserves the left too. So do we put our heart into the love of God? Do we think we love him enough, as if loving him enough is possible? He asks us to love him with our whole soul. Is our soul scrubbed of everything unworthy of God? Do we still have affection for some of our venial sins? Do we retain our sins and hesitate to go to confession? Is our whole soul an abode of the love of God, or is it a cesspool of some earthly thoughts, or even sort of vain worldly things? To love the Lord with all our mind, how much do we consecrate our mind to the Lord? Do we think about Him? Do we ponder His truths? Do we receive His wisdom and try to order our entire existence to it? Do we study? Do we hang on every word that comes from His mouth? To love the Lord with all our strength, sometimes it takes a real effort, even to get to Mass. Do we make that effort? Do we make the effort to fight off distractions, for example, when we're here, when we're really fatigued? Do we give it 100%? Or do we make excuses and cave regularly? Likewise, Jesus volunteered, if you think that's a challenge, Jesus volunteered the second part of the coin. He said the second is like it, but it's really twofold. To love our neighbor, He says, as yourself here, because there's an authentic self-love. But He will bring that to fulfillment in the Last Supper when He says, to love one another as I have loved you, to love by His own standard. And that standard is the love of the Father. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Do we love our neighbor with all our mind, heart, soul, and strength? Are we constantly trying to think of good things about our neighbor? Or do we allow the negative thoughts to take up residence with a rent control from which those thoughts will never be purged? Do we love our neighbor with all our soul? Is our soul pure when we look toward the other? Do we love our neighbor with all our mind? Are we regularly trying to think about the best of the neighbor? Do we love the neighbor with all our strength? Do we cross the road to care for the neighbor in the ditch? Do we help them 70 times, 7 times, even if they've got a particular doctoral degree in annoyance of our neighbor? Do we still love them with all our strength? This is the standard that Jesus sets before us. This is what we hear, most of us, on the day of our baptism, even though we cannot remember the words said there. But it is, and let's be straightforward about it, a really, 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 really high standard. But St. John Paul II has told us that the time has come to proclaim anew the high standard of the gospel and to train people in the holiness that the gospel entails. But thanks be to God, we're not on our own. Pope Benedict, in his beautiful encyclical Deus Caritas Est, asked a basic question. How can love be commanded? We can't go out into New York and threaten somebody and say, do you love me? Even if the person said yes, it wouldn't be free, it wouldn't be true. How can love be commanded? Love's, of course, more than a feeling. It's a willing. But it's got to be a free willing. Pope Benedict answered the question by saying, love can be commanded because love has been first given. God gives His love to us so that together with that gift, we are now capable of loving others. Because He gives us that true freedom. He gives us that true motivation. He gives us Himself so that we love God, His Father, and love others in tandem with Him. I'm sure you were hanging at the edge of your pew at the opening prayer today. Do you remember what the opening prayer was? And don't look at the Magnificat. The opening prayer was, pour into our hearts your grace, O Lord, so that we may obey what you command. God pours himself, which is his grace. Grace just means our participation in God and our created nature. Grace isn't a thing as much as a relationship. Pour yourself into our hearts, Lord, so that we may obey what you command. That's precisely what he does. I'm sure you heard it from Hosea today, too. I will heal their defection. I will love them freely. I will be like the dew for Israel, who will blossom like the lily. God himself gives himself so that we might blossom like the lily. Today we come here, and Jesus loves us with all he's got. He loves us so much that he gives us himself as that great grace, so that we might love back, so that we might love others. He never said, love me as I have loved you, but love one another. He didn't ask Peter, do you love, when Jesus asked Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said, yes, I do, 3 times. He didn't say, great. He said, feed my sheep, tend my lambs, feed my lambs. The love that Peter would show for the Lord would be the way that he would care for all those for whom the Lord loved, those for whom the Lord gave his life. And so when we truly love the Lord, we begin to love those whom the Lord loves. His friends become our friends. That's how this twofold commandment of love is united. And it's here at this Mass that God pours out his grace, so that we might love the Lord with all our mind, heart, soul, and strength, and love our neighbor by his standard. Let us receive it as celestial morning dew. Praise be Jesus Christ.